Do you believe on the Son of God? That's what I've entitled this message. Do you believe on the Son of God? This is the question the Lord asked this man. And this was a man who had quite an experience. He was born blind and given sight. Yet he did not yet believe. And the Lord asks him, do you believe on the Son of God? Think about this question. He did not ask him, do you know that you'll go to heaven when you die? Soul winners love that question. He did not say, do you know you're saved? He did not say, do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He did not say, do you know whether or not you're one of the elect? He did not say, have you been born again? He said, do you, and I'm asking that to myself, and I'm asking that to you right now. Take this question personally. Do you believe on the Son of God? Now, there are other important questions you can answer, but nothing is more important than this. Do you personally believe on the Son of God? Now, this question will determine where you spend eternity. Your answer to this question. It's going to demonstrate whether you will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. That's how serious this is. Do you believe on the Son of God? And look at the man's reply in verse 36. Who is he, Lord? You see, you can't believe if you don't know who he is. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You can't believe on him unless you know who he is. And you can't know who he is unless he reveals himself to you. The Son of God, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only the Bible tells us of one God in three distinct persons. That's not in any other religion. Only in the Bible. One God in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We'd never figure that out, would we? The only way we know this is because the Bible tells us this is who he is. As a matter of fact, it's implied in the very first verse of the scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know there, the word God is in the plural. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. Do you remember when God said, let us make man in our own image? Who's the us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. the three persons of the one true and living God. When the Lord was giving instructions to his disciples right before his ascension, after his resurrection, he said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." John said, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit." Now, the Lord asks this man, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Now, what I think is so interesting about this question is this man had already experienced a miracle. He was born blind. He'd never seen colors. He'd never seen a face. He'd had no concept of what anything looked like. He was born blind. God gave him sight. But he still doesn't know who the Son of God is. This was a man who actually did what the Lord told him to do. If you'll remember, he said, "Go wash in the pool Siloam." And he went and washed, and he came seeing. He did what the Lord told him to do. And he even knew some truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 17 of this chapter. They said unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." He knew the Lord Jesus Christ was a prophet. Look what he says in verse 31 of this same text. Or verse 30. The man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence it is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." You see, he saw some true things with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a great experience, given physical sight when he was born blind, yet he does not yet know who the Son of God is. He saw a man, he saw a prophet, he saw a man that was of God, but at this time he does not see Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God. Now, if the Lord asked him that question, surely you and I should be asked that question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I love this man's reply. "Who is he that I might believe?" You see, you cannot believe that he is the Son of God unless you believe who he is. And you can't really know who he is unless he makes himself known to you. I hope everybody in this room is saying, "Who is he that I might believe?" And you're asking the Lord to make himself known to you. Now, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Well, he is the second person of the Trinity. I began this message saying God is one God in three distinct persons. That's so mysterious. That's so glorious. It's not something somebody could figure out. It's only known because the Bible tells us that's who he is. One God in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. Now listen to this scripture from Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, describing Jesus Christ. It says, "In him, in the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body." In a human body. the Son of God, possesses every attribute of deity. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's absolutely sovereign. He's independent. He's immutable. He's omnipresent. Do you remember when he said to Nicodemus, "No man has ascended up to heaven but he that the Son of Man," right now, who is in heaven. He's on earth. He's in heaven at the same time. That's who he is. He's the Son of God. You believe that? In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God as a distinct person. And the Word was God." God the Son, the same was, eternal existence, the same was in the beginning with God. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, he's eternal. I hope I quote this scripture every time I preach. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's who he is. This world was created for this purpose, for him to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And he's called the Lamb slain, having been slain from the foundation of the world. Now, he made many pre-incarnate appearances in the Old Testament. That means He didn't become flesh until he was born into this world. I realize that, but he made many pre-incarnate appearances before he became flesh. For instance, after Adam fell, we read where he came to him as the voice of God walking in the cool of the evening. Who's the voice of God? The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared to Abraham before the destruction of Sodom. He was the one who wrestled with Jacob. Remember, Jacob said, "I've seen the Lord." He appeared to Moses in the burning bush and spake with him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I love it when Joshua sees the man with the drawn sword and he said, "Are you for us or for our enemies? Whose side are you on?" "Neither. I don't take sides. I'm the Lord of hosts." One of the most thrilling appearances is found in Daniel chapter 3. I wish you would turn there with me. Daniel chapter 3, right after Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The third chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury." This is because these three men would not bow the knee to his image that he had made. And he was filled with fury. He was angry. "And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, one seven times more than was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." These men that threw them in were burned up. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How do you know? If you see him, you'll know. I'm sure of that. If you don't know, you've never seen him. If you see him, you'll know. You'll recognize. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Can you imagine them walking out of that furnace? And the princes, the governors, the captains, the kings, the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke being in that furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, the Son of God, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded not their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. The Son of God. Upon his birth, the angels announced, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God the Son, the uncreated Son of God. Satan knew who he was. If you're the Son of God, he heard the Father speak from heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, If you are, prove it. And that's when the Lord answered him with three, It is written. The demons knew. They said, We know thee who thou art, the Son of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time? The Pharisees knew he made that claim. You remember when he said he ought to die. They said this to Pilate. He ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. They knew exactly who he was claiming to be. I love the Roman centurion's conclusion when the scripture says, when he heard him so cry out, it is finished, he said, surely, this was the Son of God. Turn back a few pages to John chapter 5. I want us to read the Lord's description of himself as the Son of God. Verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What he does, I do. Our works are one. Verse 18, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There's only one person who can be equal with God. God. God the Son. Equal to the Father. Verse 19, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Everything I do is what God does. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. If you live, it's only because I will it. I'm in absolute sovereign control, just like my Father. For the Father, verse 22, judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Jesus Christ is God the Son. Do you believe on the Son of God? Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the man that lived for 33 years here on earth, is the Son of God. The uncreated Son of God, equal to the Father with all the attributes of God. I love to think of Philip in Acts chapter 8 when he saw that Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip comes to the chariot and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he talked about the passage of Scripture that he was reading. And he said, "Tell me, of whom does the prophet speak, of himself or some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they come up to water. And evidently, in preaching the gospel to him, he talked about water baptism. And he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Is there a reason why I shouldn't be? I want to know." He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And his reply was, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Do you? 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ?" You see, this is the content of saving faith: believing who he is. Please understand that. This is the content of saving faith: believing who he is. If you and I believe who he is, we're going to believe everything else right, won't we? You see, it's not what do you believe, but who do you believe? This is the content of saving faith. In Acts chapter 9, after Paul was converted, we read, "Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God." Now, when the Lord asks this man this question, I love his answer. He didn't say, "Of course I do." Or he didn't say, "No, I don't." He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" Do you ask that question? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? You and I cannot believe on him unless we know who he is. Now, there's all kinds of people preaching somebody named Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of Scripture. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? I want to know. And we're completely shut up to revelation. Look in John chapter 6. I won't know unless he makes himself known. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. I want to be one of those people, don't you? I want to be taught of God. Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a very important scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. You know everywhere Paul went when he would go into a town after he'd preached? He may be stoned. He might be tied up to a pole and whipped with a cat of nine tails. He knew wherever he was going, he was going to take a severe beating for preaching the gospel. What a man he was, that everywhere he went, he knew that was going to happen. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know not what. I know what I believe. That's dumb. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know whom I have believed. I believe the probably clearest illustration of what this means is found in the thief on the cross. I know whom I have believed. Now, when I think about that thief on the cross, when they first threw him down on the ground and nailed those nails into his hands and feet and lifted up the cross and dropped it in the stand and the pain he was experiencing, a wall of pain, and his other buddy, they did the same things. You know what both of those guys were doing? They were cursing Christ. They were angry. They said, "If thou be the Christ, save us and yourself. Prove it." He didn't know who Jesus Christ was. Now, I don't know when, but sometime during this time, all of a sudden, he quit cursing Christ. His other buddy continued cursing him. And he said, "Don't you fear God? This one you're cursing is God." Now, how did he know that? Well, he heard the words of the Lord from the cross, didn't he? He heard every one of those seven sayings. And faith cometh by hearing. He was given understanding that this one on the middle cross is the Son of God. Don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation, now what does he mean by that? He said, we're getting exactly what we deserve. We deserve to be damned, me and you both. We deserve to be sent to hell. We're getting exactly what we deserve. You know somebody who says that? Somebody who sees that he's the Son of God. If you ever see who he is, you're going to see who you are, not until then. If you ever see who he is, you're going to see your own sinfulness, your own how you deserve to be in hell. You're not going to have any doubt about it. Now, as long as you don't see who he is, you're going to think good thoughts about yourself. You're going to have a high opinion of yourself. But when you see who he is, that high opinion of yourself goes down, and you see yourself as deserving to be sent to hell. That's what this man saw. He said, we're receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man, this God-man, hath done nothing amiss. He's never sinned. He's never done anything wrong. He's never committed a sin. How did he know? He'd only known him for a couple hours at the most, because he knew who he is. If you know who he is, you know he's never sinned. He's the Son of God. He's incapable of sin. This man hath done nothing amiss. And then he looked at that man nailed to that cross where his visage was marred more than the sons of men. And he looked at him and he said, Lord. He knew he was the Lord of glory. How? Revelation. He knew he was Lord. Listen, that's not an empty title. That means he's the Lord of creation. He's the one who created the universe. That means he's the Lord of providence. He was controlling everything that was taking place at that time. Everybody was only performing his will because he's the Lord. He's the Lord of salvation. That means your salvation's up to Him. It's not up to you. It's up to Him. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, he knew the Lord wouldn't remain on that cross. He knew he wouldn't stay dead because of who he is. He's the Lord of life. He's the Lord of glory. He said, you're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. You're incapable of failure. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you believe that if all the Lord does is say, he's one of mine, I lived for him, I died for him, he's one of mine, will anything else need to be said? No. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then the Lord gave that man more assurance than he's given anybody. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Just like a thief did. And here comes the next part of saving faith. He says, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. You see, if you know who he is, you'll believe he's able to save you with no help from you. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You believe that he is able. And here's the last part of saving faith. First, you know who he is. I know whom I believed. And you're persuaded in his ability to save you. I'm persuaded he's able. Jude 24, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You believe he's able to save you. He says, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed to him. If you know who he is, you are persuaded he is able. And here's the final proof that you really believe who he is and that you're persuaded he's able. You will commit the salvation of your soul to him right now. If you've never done it before, you'll do it right now. Now, what is this thing of committing the salvation of your soul to him? If you believe in salvation by works to any degree, if you believe your salvation is dependent upon anything you do, that's failure to commit. You commit hands off. I have nothing to do with this. It must be wholly him. My only hope of being saved is when he said, it is finished. My salvation was finished. I commit the salvation of my soul to him against that day. My only hope of being saved is that he did it all. And I'm committing that to him. I'm not looking to my works. I'm not looking to my experience. I'm not looking to my past. I'm not looking to anything but him and him alone. Now, in closing, go back to our text in John chapter 9. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he'd found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. But don't miss this. And he worshiped him. Now, if you believe, if I believe, here's what I will do. I will worship him. Now, understand this thing of worship. You only worship a complete, absolute sovereign. You only worship if you're in his hand and he can do with you whatever he's pleased to do. He can save you or he can pass you by. Whatever he does is right. Only then, when you see that you have no control in this thing, you are in his hand. Only then will you worship him. Everybody who believes worships him as the God of glory. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? That can be answered with a yes or no. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We believe he is your Son. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that because who he is, there's saving efficacy in his blood. Lord, we believe that he completely finished the work that you gave him to do. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name that all of us would be enabled by your grace to say with this man, I believe. And enable us to fall before him in spirit and worship. Lord, we give thanks for this time. We give thanks for this time of a meal together. We pray that you'd bless this time for a time of fellowship around you, your gospel. We thank you for the food. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the salvation that's in your Son. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a meal.